It's over.
Game over.
Game over, man.
It's over.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network, here's Charlie Remeliotis.
Welcome into the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Remeliotis here. After a 5-2 Blackhawks win over the Colorado Avalanche in Colorado, caller text 312-981-7200 if you would like to chime in on the postgame show. We're going up to 11:30. Now let's go back to Colorado and bring in Troy Murray. Troy, that was a huge 2 points by the Blackhawks, who were looking to snap a four-game skid. I mean, that's they're gonna have 2 days to sit on this too before their next matchup against San Jose. But I think you got to be impressed by the effort.
I was really impressed. They started the game well. It was a good first period, and second period they kind of hung on there. Mrazek did what he's done since basically he's been in Chicago, and since he's been healthy, is to keep the Blackhawks in this game and not let it get away from him. And he made some big saves when he needed it to, and all of a sudden, you know, the Blackhawks found a little rhythm. They started playing the 5-on-5, and I thought they handled the pressure from Colorado really well. 5-on-5, not easy to handle McKinnon and Rantanen, who's actually gone now six games without a goal, kind of unlike him. But Hawks did a good job defensively. I thought Vlasic in this game was excellent, playing to almost 24 and a half minutes. He had an assist. He was plus three. He was a beast out there, using his reach, how he defended, how he skates, set up the great goal by Kurashev in the first period on the Sitko power play. Some real good positive things coming out of this game tonight.
How about we talked about the three-headed monster of Colorado, Makar, McKinnon, Rantanen. McKinnon obviously had the 5-on-3 goal, but you look at the plus-minus,
yeah,
they had
minus four,
all three of them. I know two of those were on the empty netters, but I think that might be the only time all year where all three of those guys are a minus four or worse.
Yeah, that's not good, and they're not going to be happy. So whoever's the next team up for the Denver, Colorado Avalanche, good luck, because those guys are going to be ticked off. But they both did get a point. McKinnon with a beautiful goal, and Cale Makar with the assist on that goal. 10 points. There are 10 straight games with a point to start the season for both of those guys. And John had already mentioned that Makar's got the record for points by a defenseman on a streak is 10. So, you know, they were a dangerous team. I think that Colorado might have to address their depth issue a little bit. Their goaltending has not been great. And I just thought the Hawks did an excellent job. And they were looking to get Dickinson up there against McKinnon. And you look at Dickinson, you look at Donato, who had 2 goals and assist, 3 points. That ties his career high. Dickinson with a couple assists, plus three in this one. And Mikheyev picking up his first goal as a Blackhawk, his first point as well, plus three. Those guys were out there a lot against the McKinnon line. So those guys did the job, not only defensively, but they punched in most of the offense for the Hawks. So defensively excellent, adding to the offensive equation. Well done by that line.
Impressive win by the Blackhawks too, because they went up 1-0, and then they give up the 5-on-3 goal right at the end of the first period to make it 3-2. And you just knew that Colorado was going to have that push in the second and third period. It got a little dicey in the second, but for them to hold Colorado to 0 goals for the final 40 minutes while it looked like they were going to start to get the momentum is got to be a win for the Blackhawks.
Yeah, I thought that they really showed that they're in a better position to win games like this, to get points in games like this with the veteran lineup. And you look at the line that and they're, you know, people kind of saying, well, what's going on with Mikheyev? What's his deal? He is a smart player. He is a very smart player, and I was really happy, and I was just talking about it. Love that Richardson had that line back out there, because they deserve the opportunity to go out there again. And Mikheyev gets his first point, first goal as a Blackhawk into the empty net. It's going to feel a lot of confidence there, but I really like the way that they handled the pressure here. I thought the defense was good. Seth Jones, I thought Nolan Allen was good in this game tonight. Kaiser took a couple penalties, but I thought that both of them were a little bit suspect there. Connor Bedard, his line was kind of quiet tonight. He only had a couple shots on goal, and we won't even talk about the faceoffs. But, you know, you got the job done by committee, not just relying on Connor Bedard and his offense. Everybody was chipping in, so this was a real solid effort. And I think that they knew that you know, coming into this game that they had to be prepared and they had to be ready or it could have got ugly. This is a team that has not scored in the last three games here in Denver. They've been shut out. The last time they scored here was on a goal by Max Domi back in 2022. So this is going to feel good for the boys on the plane ride to San Jose tonight.
I was going to say, if you would have told us going into this game that Makar, MacKinnon, Rantanen would be minus four collectively, and Bedard and Teravainen would be held off the score sheet in a five-goal effort for the Blackhawks, I don't think anyone would have believed us.
No. So and it was kind of funny because Nolan Allen was a plus two in the game against the Dallas Stars, and that was the only player all season long that had better than a plus one ranking after a game. And all of a sudden, now you get three guys with plus three, a bunch of guys with plus two. So a real solid effort.
Last one for you, not to look too far ahead. Oh my gosh, I was going to say, it looked like San Jose was going to be losing in Utah. They actually tied it up at 4-4. They're about to go into overtime, I guess. I was going to say, not to look too far ahead of the Blackhawks, but they got San Jose next on the slate. They won only back-to-back games, the Blackhawks, just three times last season. They never won more than three in a row. There's an opportunity for the Blackhawks to win a second straight game and to kind of build on this. What are you expecting, you know, going into that to hopefully they can carry this momentum into that game?
Well, I think you have to have the same mentality and you know, people are talking about, you know, well, this team is not prepared to play and, you know, slow starts and all that kind of stuff. They didn't do anything different today than they've done on every other game. It's up to the individuals to prepare themselves to play the game. You get a game plan. They tell you what you need to do. This is what will be successful against this team. This is how we got to play it. But it's up to the individuals to get themselves ready. So you take that same mentality. Don't worry about the San Jose Sharks and what happens tonight and whether they've won their first game of the season or they're still winless. You approach it the same way with the same mentality. And the Blackhawks they're not in a position to look down on anybody. And that's not being disrespectful to the San Jose Sharks. But when the Hawks were winning Stanley Cups, they could just feel their way into games. They were that good and then turn it up. And most of the times it worked. Sometimes it didn't. But they weren't pressured as far as how they needed to start the game. This team now has to build this culture about how it wants to work for consistently 60 minutes per game. And that's what Luke Richards is going to stress here. Listen, one good game. We did what we needed to do. We played a game that was a smart game. And Connor Bedard after that game in Dallas, Charlie, if you remember, talked about sometimes, you know, we can't forget that you don't want to get bored out there. And this game tonight, they didn't get bored. And by what he was talking about there is to get away from the structure. Sometimes you want to do something, but hey, it's not the right thing. You want to try and beat the guy at the blue line, but the right play is to chip it in and get your line in on a forecheck. Don't get bored with the system, because if you play it as a group, it's going to work. And when you're having results as a team, individually you're going to have results. That's just the way it works in sports. So, you know, individual efforts are great, but team efforts is what it's all about, and that's what they're working for, and that's what you want to see in that game against San Jose, the same mentality.
No question. Good stuff, Troy. You going to enjoy some wine in Napa, or what's going on there?
No, just going to relax.
Okay. All right, don't relax.
Maybe golf.
There you go. How do we do yesterday?
Did
we do okay yesterday?
Yeah, we did okay.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
We'll check back in after on Thursday.
Yeah, okay.
All right, Troy, good stuff.
Thanks, Charlie.
See ya. Huge Blackhawks win as Troy was breaking down there. I mean, going into this game, you felt like the Blackhawks were starting to get a little mentally... You know, they lost four in a row. They had blown the lead against Nashville on Friday. And then Dallas, they didn't come out with the best start. They find a way to push back in the third. And they came very close to tying it late in the game to force overtime. But Nick Foligno ended up redirecting Seth Jones' shot, unfortunately. And so the losses were starting to stack. And it was important. And, you know, going into tonight's game, I was a little bit worried about the Blackhawks because Colorado is a team that just has their number, Chicago, in that building. Troy had mentioned it, the Hawks being shut out in three consecutive games, three or four. In the last six games, the Blackhawks in Colorado before tonight, the Hawks were 0-6, and they were being outscored 25-4 in those six games. So the Blackhawks scored five goals tonight. It was the more than they had scored in their previous six altogether. Just an impressive win by the Blackhawks. And we mentioned in the pregame show too about the importance of peppering Alexander Georgiev early. That guy has had a really tough start to the season for Colorado between the pipes. His first two starts, he was yanked early, and he had a .499 goals against average and an .811 save percentage through his first five games. And before tonight, he hadn't started since October 18th. So this was his first start in 10 days. Colorado had been riding their backup goaltender, Anunin, who had been 4-1-0 with a 2.48 goals against average and .905 save percentage. So it's an impressive win. Colorado, they are a little bit banged up. They don't have quite the firepower that they're used to. Nishushkin has been suspended. Jonathan Drouin is on injured reserve. Arturi Lekkonen's out with a shoulder injury. So they didn't have quite the firepower, but that's still a very good hockey team. And, you know, Colorado went into this game on a five-game winning streak, 4.2 goals per game over that stretch, only 2.2 goals against per game. So this was an impressive win by the Blackhawks. Let's highlight Ryan Donato. I thought he was terrific tonight, not just because of the two goals and the assist. The second goal was an empty netter, and the assist was on the empty netter of Mikheyev's goal, so I don't want to read too much into the three-point night. But I wrote down quite a few notes on him throughout the game where he had a scoring chance in the second period. It was from Jason Dickinson, where he tried poking the puck underneath Georgiev. He had a 2-on-1 with Dickinson, I think later on in that period, towards the end of the period. He had a big hit in the third, a really nice forecheck on Devon Taves that almost led to a scoring chance, but he just lost the puck. So he's been awesome for the Blackhawks, and now he leads the team with 5 goals in 8 games. So last season, he had only 12 goals in 78 games, and his career high is 16 goals in 74 games, which came in the 21-22 season while he was with Seattle. Now, I did the math, and Ryan Donato is on a 51-goal pace. I don't think he's going to hit that number. I'm going to take the under, but I think it's impressive to see him grinding out some goals. We were mentioning, too, you know, he has scored off the rush in Utah. Like, he's scoring in different ways. It was a fluky goal on in Dallas on Saturday. We thought it was going to be Craig Smith's goal. They changed it to his. But he's been scoring some key goals for the Blackhawks. You know, we mentioned, too, Philip Kurashev jumped up on the top line with Connor Bedard in this game. And I thought their line was okay. I thought they were noticeable in the first period. I wrote down they had a really extended offensive zone shift in the first period. Kurashev, I want to say, hit the crossbar and one of the, I think it was the second period. I mean, it went off Georgiev's shoulder and then hit the crossbar. So I think it hit the outside of the crossbar too. So I don't want to give it, you know, it was not like he missed a grade A scoring chance. I will say the impressive thing is, and Troy didn't want to mention it, but we had mentioned it in the second intermission with the faceoffs. That line went 0 for 10 in the faceoff circle. Kurashev was 0 for 2, and Bedard was 0 for 8. So no surprise that they had a hard time generating offense, because they barely started with the puck when they were on the ice for faceoffs. And, you know, again, Teravainen and Bedard were held off the score sheet, which is surprising in a game where the Hawks scored 5 goals. Granted, 2 of them were empty netters. It was nice to see Philip Kurashev finally break through with a goal. It was on the power play. He finished with 4 shots on goal, 5 shot attempts. His 4 shots on goal was tied for the team lead with none other than Ryan Donato. Impressive victory. You know, I will say this. I don't want to dog on the officials too much, because they rarely have that much influence in a game, and you can point to other areas in the game to where things went wrong. But man, there was some inconsistent officiating tonight. Wyatt Kaiser was penalized twice. I thought both of those were a little bit soft. He looked very confused on the first one, the high sticking. He was skating back to the Blackhawks bench, and the referee was signaling to him to go to the bench, and the broadcast caught Wyatt kind of like with his eyebrows, like, me? Like, he was very confused. And then the holding penalty, it was on Joel Kiviranta. I mean, that was ticky-tacky. I thought there was no interference on Taylor Hall. I think it was towards the end of one of the periods. Nick Foligno, like, they missed a trip on that. Like, they didn't call that, but they called Wyatt Kaiser. And then I thought they missed the high stick on TJ Brody too. So if the Hawks would have lost that game, there would have been a lot of, you know, there would have been a lot of frustration in that Blackhawks locker room with the officiating again, because they felt like it feels like they've been hosed a little bit the last few games in that department. So nice to see them overcome that. So listen, all around great victory by the Blackhawks. I think you have to be impressed by the final 40. And so they'll take this win into San Jose, and hopefully they can build on that momentum. We got some post-game sound rolling in from Colorado. We'll take a break and then listen to what came out of the Blackhawks locker room as the post-game show rolls on after this on 720 WGN.
Donato to get it there. Pokes it behind the net into the near corner. Dickinson there. Works it free. Donato right circle. Turns and fires. He scores! Ryan Donato with his second goal of the night, and that should put it away. The Hawks 4 and the Avs 2 with 57 seconds left in regulation. And all of the Hawks fans here in Colorado are on their feet celebrating and having a good time.
Back on the Blackhawks post-game show, that was Ryan Donato's empty net goal that sealed the deal for the Blackhawks, who ended up getting another empty net goal as Ilya Mikheyev's first in a Chicago sweater. We highlighted Ryan Donato, 2 goals, an assist, 3 points, 4 shots on goal, 3 hits, 11:59 of ice time. He was excellent. He was named the number one star of the game in this one. No surprise. He also spoke to the media in Colorado. Let's hear what he had to say.
What did you take away from that game?
It was a great team effort. I mean, even though I think we've had games where we haven't played the full 60 minutes, and I still think there was a couple minutes where we felt like they had some control, but, you know, this time we didn't just let that happen. We kind of dialed it back in, and, you know, it's fun when you play that way, and, you know, you beat a good team like tonight when we do that way. So,
you guys have talked about getting more ugly goals, and to get one, maybe even two in that first period, is that a boost?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just, you go hard to the net and you say your prayers, right? Like, the puck can go anywhere, and for me it was a lucky bounce, and I was lucky to put it away. But, you know, getting to those areas is definitely hard. I think we could do more of that, and hopefully good things happen from that.
What was the feeling after scoring that three-nighter?
Relief. It's just, you know, there's so many times where you feel like the last couple games where we feel like we played pretty well, and 5 minutes we take off, they're back in the game, and you know, we just find a way to not finish it off. And tonight, you know, I think we all came in the locker room after the second and said it wasn't good enough. We got to step back up, and you know, there's not much to say other than just getting the job done, and that's kind of what happened tonight.
Just what were you doing to them defensively from the outset?
I mean, they have so many talented players, right? Trying to limit their best players from doing what they do best and scoring and getting chances and feeling good. I mean, Jason's doing a great job down low, making sure those guys don't get their scoring chances, and, you know, he plays the right way. So when you play against those guys, they usually don't want to play as much defense. They're so offense-oriented, and it's because they're great at it, right? But, you know, limiting their chances and frustrating them and trying to score while you can at the same time.
That was Blackhawks forward Ryan Donato, number one star of the game. His line as a whole was really solid with Jason Dickinson and Ilya Mikheyev. Looking at the numbers here, they actually logged the most 5-on-5 ice time for the Blackhawks as far as together as a line. And shot attempts were 9-5 in favor of Chicago. Scoring chances were 5-3 in favor of Chicago. And high danger chances 4-1 according to Natural Stat Trick. So that line as a whole, I thought, was really solid. Connor Murphy, he also spoke to the media. He finished with an assist. He had 4 shot attempts, 1 on goal, 2 hits, a takeaway, a block shot, 22 minutes of ice time, which ranked 3rd among the Blackhawks skaters. Let's listen in on Connor.
That was a pretty big hit, huh?
Yeah, in the third? Yeah, it was nice. It's good to start any period of nice to get yourself into it with a hit, yeah.
That's obviously a big period going into it with the 1-goal lead. I feel like that just kind of wakes everybody up.
Yeah, we talked about it. Honestly, we didn't like our second period in Dallas and felt like we needed to put together more of a complete game and know what we have it in us from periods we've shown in the recent past. So it was important for us to stick with in the second and then come out in the third with a little fire.
What did that third period feel like? Just, I guess, surviving or just knowing how they're...
Yeah, we didn't... I don't think we played enough offense as we wanted to. But it's still, when you can hold the fort like that and not give up too many grade A's, that's equally as good. And I thought guys stayed responsible and no one really strayed from the right side of the puck, and being with each other to support breakouts and staying kind of steady in our neutral zone, that really helped to, like I said, not let up grade A's for Raza.
How important is it just to get results? I mean, it seems you guys have less points than you did last year, 10 games last year, but just, I mean, you guys have been in every game but not had a lot to show for it.
Yeah, we've been frustrated a couple of losses like that, and know with a more of a veteran team now that we got to show more consistency period to period. And like I said, we have it in us to know how to play responsibly, and then we have enough guys that can score at the right time. So piecing it together and streaking wins is what it's all about.
You guys have talked. Go ahead.
What was behind the big hit? Was it sending a message or just opportunity?
It was opportunity more than anything. But I don't think it was really anything to read into. It's just being physical as part of a game.
You guys have talked about getting more ugly goals.
Yeah.
To get one, arguably even two in the first period.
Yeah.
Is that just a boost to...
Yeah, and they were pretty ugly, bouncing off guys and stuff. Kershey's was actually really nice. But when you're not scoring, the easy ones aren't going to come. Once you start getting them around the net and guys getting rebounds and getting dragged down in front of the net, like you saw, drew penalties and then just whacking home rebounds and having pucks go off your body, that's usually how you break a bit of a slump from scoring. And then the offense seems to flow after that. You kind of saw that a little bit in the first, and you hope that our game can continue to grow like that.
What did you see from Donato tonight?
Yeah, he's an example of that. I thought he got dragged down, I think, on the one penalty in front of the net, and then he gets the goal of doing the same thing, getting hard around their paint and getting ready for rebounds. And on top of that, he's able to break through. They had a good line. Dickey's really responsible to be able to get him and Mikheyev and those guys going on two-on-ones and able to use their speed and their shots. So Donnie's got a bomb of a shot, and when he's able to use it and get around their net, he's effective.
How did Blassett look to you on that first goal?
Yeah, really good. He's got that dynamic part of his game that's continued to grow. At first, he came in. We know how steady he is defensively, but him being able to be a threat on the power play and have patience with the puck and use his skating to open up the zone, it gives our forwards like Kershey opportunities like that to score.
That was Blackhawks defenseman Connor Murphy. By the way, thanks to Ben Pope of the Chicago Sun-Times for getting us that sound on the road. Murphy, man, he's been delivering some big hits this season. We saw the one tonight on Logan O'Connor. John Weidemann said on the broadcast that might be the hit of the year, and feels like it. He did have that reverse hit too in Calgary, which was the poor, I can't remember his name, but it was a poor rookie that went to go lay a hit on Murphy, and Murphy just totally reversed it on him, and it was probably one of the biggest reverse hits I've ever seen. So Murphy's been bringing that physicality for the Blackhawks. Hey, I also want to mention something that we had talked about in the pregame show. Pat Maroon, last game after the Saturday game in Dallas, one of the observations he had made was that the Blackhawks weren't doing a great job of generating offense when it wasn't off the rush. So I had broken down that going into tonight's game, the Blackhawks had scored 22 goals this season. Six of them were on the power play, and of the other 16, that's doing math in real time. A lot of the goals the Blackhawks had scored of those 16 were off the rush, whether it was the Bedard versus Dallas goal on Saturday, Reichel to Craig Smith off the rush versus Nashville, Taylor Hall versus Vancouver was off a turnover, so it wasn't really off the rush or off the cycle. One of the Craig Smith goals was versus Buffalo was off the rush. The other one was off a turnover from a Reichel rebound. Hall's first goal of the season versus San Jose off the rush. Donato's first goal of the season in Winnipeg off the rush. So there have been a lot of rush goals by the Blackhawks, and Maroon was saying we've got to find a way to generate offense that's not off the rush. And ironically, the Blackhawks didn't score a single goal today off the rush, you know, excluding the empty netters. The Philip Kurashev scored on the power play, so that kind of disqualifies it because they already had possession time. The Craig Smith shot that went off Lucas Reichel and in was directly off of a faceoff win. And then Ryan Donato, his first goal of the game, it was off of some cycle time inside the offensive zone. So it was nice to see the Blackhawks kind of diversify the way they scored goals today. You don't want them to be too one-dimensional. I remember a few years ago, Man, it was when the Blackhawks were under Jeremy Colliton. They got into a lot of run and gun games, and they were legitimately one of the best teams at generating offense off the rush, but they could not generate anything off the cycle. So it was basically like Patrick Kane and Alex DeBrincat generating multiple rush chances a game and oftentimes scoring, but they couldn't figure out a way to score off the cycle. So I think if you're the Blackhawks, and this is probably what Pat Maroon is saying, you know, we have to find a way to be scoring different kinds of ways, whether it's off the rush, off the cycle, gritty goals on the power play, shorthanded goals. So it was nice to see the Blackhawks get out in front of that tonight and score against a very good Colorado team that typically will score a lot off the rush and off the cycle themselves. So it was the Blackhawks that were kind of leading the charge in that department. Okay, we got more to get to on the Blackhawks post-game show, including our save of the game and comments from Luke Richardson coming up right here on 720 WGN.
Ivan the other way, crossing the Hawk line, left wing side, cuts across the zone to the right wing side, drops it off to Wood, closing to the net, he'll shoot, oh, and it's stopped by Mrazek, who is knocked down by Miles Wood and loses his headgear, and a penalty is going to be called here for goaltender interference, I believe, to Miles Wood.
That was tonight's save of the game, which is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at ComEd.com/poweringbiz. That was one of Peter Mrazek's 24 saves on the night, 24 on 26 shots for a .923 save percentage. He especially came up big in that second period when Colorado tilted the ice in its favor. That was also Mrazek's third start in 4 days. Arvid Soderblom did not make the trip to Dallas because he was sick. And so Mrazek started the second game of a back-to-back 24 hours after starting against Nashville. And so you have to imagine Arvid Soderblom is going to be the starting goaltender for Thursday's game against San Jose. You assume so. Give Mrazek a little bit of a breather and he can prepare for the back-to-back weekend against Anaheim and L.A. Luke Richardson has to be happy about this performance. He just spoke to the media moments ago. Let's listen in.
What do you take away from that?
Very similar to our Edmonton game against a strong team with strong individual players. I thought we checked them very well, played a smart game. Peter played well. Our defense played well moving the puck. And I thought, you know, power play was good. Penalty killing was great. But to me, it was like Dickinson's line. Made a big difference for our team.
You guys are talking about getting more ugly goals, and he had one, maybe even two in the first period. Is that helpful?
Yeah, we've seen one or two go against us, and it was about time one bounced in for us, especially the Reichel one I thought was big. And, I think just we deserved what we got tonight, and there's been nights that we probably didn't deserve the final fate, so I'm glad the guys got what they did.
Seems like Vlasic is continuing to evolve offensively, what you see from him on that crucial goal.
Yeah, that's probably the perfect word. You know, he's evolving, and it's him, like just his skating ability, and he's getting more confident shooting the puck, moving the puck. I defended really hard as well tonight, so if he gets a little more edge to him, he's going to be even tougher to play against.
How big was your smile on that Connor Murphy hit on Logan O'Connor?
Yeah, that was a nice hit, and I think it was clean. The best thing I said to the guys, we can't go to the penalty box again after the second period. It was really draining some guys and keeping other guys out of the game that were having good games, and obviously you're flirting with danger with this team, so a good clean hit like that, it kind of rattles the other team a little bit, brings our team up, and we didn't get a penalty, so it was good.
It seemed like there was some frustration starting to build after Dallas when you guys have been playing all right but not getting results. Is it helpful just to reinforce things when you do get a win with them?
Yeah, I think we can, look at all the good stuff that we did, but there's also some areas we can improve, and part of it is discipline and penalties and timely penalties against us, and especially when we're killing, we can't take another one against a team like this. So there's little things that we can do. At the end of the second period, we chased a few times behind the net for no reason, and we're back checking against a really good team. I think when you have the lead 3-2, you should never do that. You got to manage the score and the time on the clock. So there's still little lessons early in the season here that we're going to use and try and get better as this road trip goes on.
It's just 10 games, but after 10, how do you feel about this game?
I've liked how we've played. There's been maybe one game. I think it was the Vancouver game that, to me, was our worst game start to finish. Other than that, there was a lot of good things to build off of. And, you know, we could have easily had a few more wins. And, you know, I think this team and the whole organization's tired of the moral victories. So tonight was a really big step for us to take a real victory and, you know, put it in the back of our minds how we did it. Now we have 2 days to kind of sit on it instead of sitting on a loss, and I think I want to see how we process that and move forward with some pep in our stuff.
Is there a different way you attack their goalie? It seems like a lot of shots coming from the middle.
No, not really. I just think we just thought they played last night. They're a tired team. We want to be on the attack all night, and I think our guys did a great job of moving in the O-zone. We extended some O-zone time on them, and I think that created some opportunities to shoot the pucks.
Are you noticing that different out of Donato from last season?
He's always a determined player. He's definitely playing very aware and heads up. That's why we could put him at Dickinson's line to check the other team's top lines, and you know, we can put him anywhere, and he's a guy that's a good team guy and ready to play anywhere, whether it's center, wing, top line, bottom line, penalty kill sometimes, fill in, power play fill in sometimes. He's going to be one of those guys that pays attention to details. He grew up in a NHL household, and he kind of understands that. And he's really, you know what I mean, he kind of drives the play. The guys pull for him because he tries so hard, and he tries to do the right things all the time. So, you know what I mean, I'm glad to see him get rewarded with a couple of goals tonight because he goes to those hard areas. And, you know, he's bleeding out of the nose and the lip, and he's coming to the bench smiling because he's got a goal.
Mrazek seemed like he was really challenging shots extra tonight. Was that part of the team game plan, or was that just something he was doing?
I'm sure him and Jimmy talk about that. Teams that, like this, that have great shooters and really shoot hard, I think you can't give them too much of the net, so you got to challenge it a little bit. And our guys, I thought our D did a good job of clearing rebounds. There was not a lot of second chances, so that's a hard team. They don't really like hit a lot physically, but they're really physical and hard on their sticks in the stick battles, and I thought we did a really good job of keeping up with them in that area tonight.
That McKinnon goal, what did you want to see differently defensively?
There's not much you can do. Like Seth, we try and get up and gap up, and then, you know, Seth just got caught. He probably thought on a 5-on-3 he's going to, you know, regroup it and come in and set up, and, you know, that guy just needs 1 inch, and it's not that he's so fast. He's fast and strong. Seth got back, but he just blew through his arms, and there's not much you can do on that other than not take the second penalty.
That was Blackhawks head coach Luke Richardson after a 5-2 win over Colorado. He singled out Jason Dickinson specifically, how crucial he was in this game, just locking up McKinnon, Rantanen, and even Makar. And it's interesting because Dickinson faced that line, McKinnon and Rantanen, the most. He logged the most ice time against them of any other Colorado opponent. Some of that is because Colorado was starting to throw them out there every other shift because they were trailing. But it's interesting because the Hawks were the road team, so they don't get last line change. So it was Luke that was basically just throwing out Dickinson and any opportunity to defend that line. And it's interesting too because the Blackhawks have had a gaping hole in their second line center position. It's been filled by Philip Kurashev leading up to tonight. But the Hawks have really wanted Jason Dickinson to be a shutdown third line center. You don't see him on the power play. He got some power play time a little bit last year, but the Hawks really want him to focus on being that shutdown guy. And he honestly plays that role so well. Last year, I remember I was getting ready to do my Selke trophy voting for best defensive forward in the NHL. And Dickinson was like, I think he was third on my ballot. With Dickinson on the ice at 5-on-5 last season, the Hawks had a +9 goal differential. When he wasn't on the ice, the Hawks had a -94 goal differential. It's a 103 goal difference. So Jason Dickinson is as good of a shutdown center as they come. Let me get to some final quick, I'm going to empty out my final notes here. Wyatt Kaiser was playing on a pairing tonight with Seth Jones. I really like the way those two complement each other. I know it was one game, but just in theory, I think Wyatt could do a really nice job of stabilizing that defenseman pairing with Seth, and putting Vlasic on a different pairing helps stabilize the second pairing. Vlasic was excellent with Murphy tonight. And get a load of this. Wyatt Kaiser logged 14 minutes and 13 seconds of even strength time. He did not allow a single shot on goal when he was on the ice. He's the only Blackhawk to have zero by that name. Everyone else, every other player logged or allowed at least two shots or more. So excellent game by Wyatt Kaiser. And then lastly, Lucas Reichel was on the first power play unit tonight for the first time all season. Nick Foligno was in that spot earlier. So it's nice to see Reichel getting more of an opportunity. Again, he started on the fourth line, but he's still slowly starting to get more and more responsibility, and Luke is kind of rewarding him the more that he starts to earn that ice time. So, you know, good to see Reichel take advantage of that opportunity. Again, it wasn't particularly strong. That I think the Hawks had, I wrote down before that Kurashev goal on the power play, the Hawks had three failed zone entries. So they weren't particularly strong, but it's nice to see that Reichel is getting a little bit more of a reward. And so we'll see if that carries over to San Jose. All right, we got one more break, and then we'll wrap up the Blackhawks postgame show after this on 720 WGN.
Wenberg will take the draw. The Sharks will win it. Toffoli goes back to Granlund. Granlund holds it, and he shoots. That's just barely wide. Loose. They score. Wenberg gets the rebound off the end boards, and the San Jose Sharks have won their first game of the season in dramatic fashion in overtime. Everybody off the bench to mob Wenberg with his first goal for the Sharks. What a moment. The Sharks win it by the score of 5-4.
That is Dan Ruzanowski from Sharks Audio Network on the call for the San Jose Sharks' first win of the season. What a game in Utah. The Sharks overcame a 4-1 deficit in the third period. They scored three goals in the final 4 minutes and 32 seconds. They actually scored three goals in a minute and 50 and to force overtime. And then Alexander Wenberg scored on the power play with, it was 1:26 into overtime to give San Jose first win of the season. The Sharks lost their last game to drop to 0-7-2. They were the first team in NHL history to lose 9 straight games out of the gates in back-to-back seasons. They lost 11 last year, which tied an NHL record. So San Jose is finally in the win column. They also finished with 45 shots on goal. So that was an impressive comeback win for San Jose. They do play LA tomorrow night too. So the Hawks are going to be waiting for them when they get back home in San Jose on Thursday. Hawks are going to be a little bit well rested. Unfortunately, we're still not going to be able to see Connor Bedard versus Macklin Celebrini, the duel of the past two number one overall picks in the NHL. Celebrini is still dealing with an injury. He's listed as week to week. He wasn't able to play in the game earlier in the month at the United Center, the Blackhawks home opener. That was probably the Blackhawks' best 60-minute effort of the season. So let's see if they can carry that over to Thursday. The next meeting between the Blackhawks and San Jose Sharks after Thursday's is on March 13th in San Jose. So hopefully we get Bedard versus Celebrini then, but unfortunately we're not going to get it on Thursday night. So that's going to have to wait. But Blackhawks and Sharks are both going into that game on Thursday with some positive momentum, although San Jose is playing LA tomorrow, so let's see if they can capitalize on it. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circa Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. Huge thanks to all the help we had on the broadcast tonight. Our production crew of Jack Heinrich and Patrick Hennessy, they were led by our captain, the engineer, our colonel, Brett Jackson. For John Weideman and Troy Murray, who brought you the call from Colorado, I'm Charlie Romeliotis, signing off after a 5-2 Blackhawks win over the Avalanche. Thanks for being with us. We will talk to you on Thursday night.